John 3:16. It's in our gospel reading today, and it's a verse that almost everyone can quote by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When you read the Gospel of John, a pattern emerges. First, we read what Jesus did. Second, what Jesus said. And third, how people responded to Jesus. Try reading the Gospel of John during Lent and see how many times you can find this pattern fitting in. In verses 1 through 4 of today's gospel lesson, we see this pattern beginning to take shape. What Jesus did was to speak with Nicodemus during the night. Nicodemus called Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. He was showing great respect towards Jesus by using the word Rabbi. And Nicodemus even goes so far as saying that Jesus was a teacher who came from God. Second, what Jesus said was that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And third, Nicodemus responded by questioning how a man can be born again when he is old. A discussion then follows in verses 5 through 8 on the difference between being born from Adam and Eve and being born of the Spirit. And in verse 9, Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? Jesus responds in verse 10 by asking Nicodemus why, as a teacher of Israel, he doesn't understand, or why he just doesn't get it. He seems to be a little slow in understanding these two very different births. But remember, this was probably a brand new teaching to Nicodemus. In verse 12, Jesus admonishes Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And in verses 13 through 17, we once again see the three-part pattern. Only this time what Jesus did was to foretell his own death for our salvation. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He then went on to say these verses that we're all so familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We don't know how Nicodemus responded to Jesus right after Jesus spoke these words. John doesn't tell us. But we can look at Nicodemus's interaction with Jesus the other two times he's mentioned in the Gospel of John. The next time we see Nicodemus is in chapter 7. He's functioning in his official capacity as a member of the Sanhedrin. It was the time of the Feast of the Booths in Judea, and Jesus' disciples had asked him to go to Judea, but he told them to go on ahead without him. So Jesus remained in Galilee for a little while. Then later, Jesus went on to the feast privately because there was so much controversy concerning him. Some people thought Jesus was a good man, while others thought he was a deceiver. And the Pharisees heard the people talking about this. Towards the end of chapter 7, we find that officers were sent by the Pharisees and some of the priests to bring Jesus to them. But the officers returned to the chief priests and the Pharisees empty-handed. Of course, the officers were questioned as to why they hadn't brought Jesus to them. And their answer in verse 46 was, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees, as you can well imagine, were not pleased. "Have you also been deceived?" they asked. And they continued, perhaps with a little smugness, "Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law is a curse." And so it is Nicodemus who came to the defense of Jesus by asking, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" The scripture really doesn't say anything about Nicodemus's reactions or response following his conversation that night back in John chapter 3. But I believe it must have struck a chord in his heart. You must be born again. For God so loved the world. These are words very familiar to all of us here today. They are words said on our behalf at our baptism, and words that we affirm when we are confirmed. They are words most of us grew up with, and so we're very comfortable with them. But what about Nicodemus? He was brought up in a Jewish family. In fact, there weren't even any Christians around yet, as we know Christians today. As a Jew, he was brought up under the law, and he was so entrenched in the law that he became a Pharisee, someone who made sure that the laws were all followed. When Nicodemus went to talk to Jesus in John 3, he went at night. Some people say he went at night to trick Jesus or try to catch him on a technicality of the law. But you know, I'm not really sure about that. If Nicodemus was trying to catch Jesus on a technicality of the law, wouldn't he have wanted a witness, someone who could verify what Jesus had said? No, I think Nicodemus visited Jesus at night because it was more of a personal matter to him. I believe that Nicodemus saw something in Jesus far beyond his own role as a Pharisee. And I believe we see this in chapter 7 of John when Nicodemus comes to Jesus' defense. Today, we might refer to that as justice. The word justice is a relational term. From a scriptural point of view, it means loving our neighbors as ourselves. So even as God is just and loving, so we are called to do justice and live in love. The last time we see Nicodemus in the Gospel of John is in chapter 19, right after Jesus has been crucified. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate if he could take Jesus' body away, and Pilate gave him that permission. And it was Nicodemus who brought spices for preparing Jesus' body for burial, 75 pounds worth of myrrh and aloe. Verse 40 tells us that they, meaning Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, bound Jesus' body in linen cloths with the spices, which was the burial custom of the Jews in those days. And it was Nicodemus who assisted Joseph of Arimathea in placing Jesus' body in the tomb. I Googled today's value of 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe and discovered that in today's market, this would sell for $150,000 to $200,000. What an investment Nicodemus made. Perhaps this last mention of Nicodemus in John 19 in purchasing such expensive spices and assisting in the burial of Jesus' body says something about his faith. It would not make sense for someone who did not love and respect Jesus to come forward with such a valuable gift for Jesus' burial, given the circumstances. So what is our takeaway from these three events in Nicodemus' life? First, we know that God doesn't love just us. John 3:16 and 17 clearly says God so loved the world, and that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That God's Son wasn't sent to condemn the world, but to save it through him. If we believe this, we should be proactive in spreading this great gift. Second, we need to figure out how each of us is called to spread this good news. Nicodemus did when he came to Jesus' defense before the Sanhedrin. He stood up for Jesus when it looked as though Jesus would be judged without a trial. So how can we in today's society spread the good news? In the litany for the candidates for baptism, one of the prayers the deacon makes for the candidate is that they may proclaim by word and deed the good news of God in Jesus Christ to a lost and broken world. When you think about this, there are so many ways this can be done. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, our lay readers and LEMS, someone to visit shut-ins, These are all examples. So are those who offer a ride to someone who needs to go to a doctor's appointment or needs to go grocery shopping. But you have to start by loving people, getting to know their stories, and caring about them. Perhaps Nicodemus' final recorded act in John 19 was his own personal declaration of faith. And perhaps it came from that first encounter at night with Jesus in John 3. From today's gospel lesson, we know what Jesus did. He spoke with Nicodemus. And we know what he said. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. What will your response be? This lamp by word and deed for the good news of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.